You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news.
Greetings, beloved. Today's message on declaring the finished work is actually a combination of a message that was originally recorded in April entitled Truth. And what I have done in listening to it, I have inserted an additional insight on this message, Truth, within the old message. So it's like a remix. So be blessed and just be blessed. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Thank you for joining me this week for another hour of Declaring the Finished Work. I'm your host, Reverend Pat. Glory to God. Glad to be alive this day. I am going to take this breath that the Lord has given me in this day to exalt his holy name, to worship him, to praise him, hallelujah, to glorify his name. So I'm glad that you are joining me today because we are going to magnify the name of the Lord. So before I get started, let us go into the presence of the Lord with thanksgiving and offer a prayer. Father, I praise you and I glorify your name. I thank you for this Thursday afternoon. I thank you for life and breath. I thank you for another opportunity to sing and speak and shout your praises, for you are worthy to be praised. I thank you, Father, for sending your dear Son, Christ Jesus, into the earth for us, that you would love us so much, yet while we were still enemies, that you would send your beloved Son for us. So we thank you and we praise you today. I just give you this broadcast today. Holy Spirit, take full control and authority over this broadcast. Lead and direct me as I move through the Word of God for today. I thank you. I thank you, Holy Spirit, because you are our comforter. You are our helper. You are the Spirit of truth, that you are in us and that you are with us to reveal the truth of our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus, to reveal what the word of the Lord is for us in every situation. I thank you. I thank you for your power. I thank you for your anointing. I thank you that it is by your anointing that yokes will be broken. I thank you that after this broadcast, we will be walking in another level of liberty in Christ Jesus. I thank you that you have chosen us in this time. We who were born in this generation, during these times, that it is with great purpose that you have supplied us with all that we need, everything that pertains to life and godliness. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for you have defeated our enemy and put him under your feet. I thank you that you have placed us in you, and we are seated in heavenly places with you at the right hand of the Father. I thank you that you have loved us with an everlasting love, that there is nothing that can separate us from your love. So we thank you. We praise you. We give you all the glory, and it's in Christ Jesus' name that I pray. Amen and amen. You know, the enemy does not want us walking in the truth. He does not want us walking in the truth, for we are a threat to him. Now, he's been rendered powerless. But what he doesn't want to happen now is for us to take back the territory that he has stolen. Glory to God. Amen. And gain even greater territory in the name of Jesus. So he is working diligently over time. Glory to God. He never gives up. He never gives up, and he is persistent. And what the Lord wants us to do is to be wise as serpents, yet gentle as doves. But we should be praying without ceasing. We must be walking through this earth spiritually alert, understanding that the spirit of deception is still in operation in the world through those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I did a graphic image with words of encouragement, and one of the things it was an image actually of the salmon swimming upstream. I mean, it wasn't like a calm river. He was swimming upstream and in a waterfall. So you can imagine the force of this waterfall. And this salmon is swimming in the opposite direction of that great current. Well, that's how it is for us in this world. This world is going in the opposite direction of God. And we have to be alert. We have to be intimate with the Lord. We have to start our day with him and move throughout our day with him, because the energy that is flowing in the world and the spirit that is flowing in the world is going in the opposite direction of the people of God. But just like that salmon who's equipped to swim upstream, even in a waterfall, with the force and the power of that stream coming down, he is equipped, hallelujah, to swim upstream. And so are we, the children of God. The scripture that I'm going to read first is John 14:6, which is a very familiar scripture. It says, I am the way and the truth and the life. This is Jesus speaking. He's speaking to Thomas, one of the disciples. And he is declaring who he is. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And today we're looking at truth. So where you see truth, the word truth being used, you can actually replace it with the name Jesus, because he is the truth. He is the truth. John 1:17 says, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So when he came into this world, he brought grace and truth. And I know we are in an environment where grace is actually at the forefront, and I believe it's here at the forefront of the movement in the body of Christ for a very great purpose, and that's to understand that grace is not a doctrine. It is Jesus Christ. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Amen. 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 And so this truth that we have received by our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus coming to live on the inside of us, it is a spirit. It speaks of the Holy Spirit being the spirit of truth. And that spirit of truth is living on the inside of us, and it is going to be our GPS as we navigate through this broken world. I want to talk about this world just for a moment. You know, in the world, and in the scriptures, when it refers to the world, one of its definitions is that in the Greek is order, arrangement. So the order of this world, the way this world is arranged. Also, it says the present condition of human affairs in alienation from and in opposition to God. So we see a spirit in this world that is in alienation and in opposition to God, in opposition to the spirit of truth. We live in a world that is rampant with lies and deceptions, and it is all because of the enemy. The deception entered in the garden. So when we are born into this world, we of this generation, the generations after Adam and Eve, the fall in the garden, we come into a world where deception has entered. It began in Genesis when the serpent, and that the spirit of the enemy was embodied in a serpent, and it came to Adam and Eve and deceived them into thinking that if they ate from the fruit of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that the Father had warned them not to eat. It was the only tree that they were told not to partake of, and it was a protection. It also indicates that man has a choice. You always, I mean, in order for you to be a free being, you would have to be able to have choice. Because if you don't have choice, then you are no different from a cat or a dog. And in fact, we would just move through this life as a robot, because we're not, we don't have choice. We don't make decisions. We don't actually need to even think. But that's not what the father wanted. He wanted to have relationship. In order for him to have relationship, he would have to create something that was in his image. Glory to God. So we were created in God's image. So after the fall, we see, let me just read part of Genesis 3. I think I'm going to start in, I think I'm going to start in 5. So this is the serpent speaking to the woman, and he says, "You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Now, what a temptation. He's saying to them, you'll be just like God. The only reason you're not like God is because you don't know good and evil. So this is the first part of that temptation. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was to be desired, so she looked at it, you know, she considered it, she considered the deception, the lie that the enemy, that's when lies entered, because lies are just deception. They deceive us from the truth. So she's considering this lie, and then she's looking at the very thing that he's saying, oh, surely you can partake of this, and in fact, it's going to benefit you because you're going to be wiser. And she took of the fruit, and she gave it also to the husband, Adam, and his eyes. It says, then in verse 7, it says, then the eyes of both were open, and they knew they were naked. Now, prior to that, they weren't even aware. They were walking around with the glory, clothed in the glory of God. So now they're, not only are they aware, but they are ashamed of being naked because this awareness has opened up. And they perceive it as being something wrong. So they sew these fig leaves together, and they create this first covering for their bodies. And then, okay, so now you got the lie, that deception that entered. And then right on the heels of that is fear. And they heard the sound of, this is verse 8, and they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Can you imagine that? And the man and his wife hid themselves. They hid from God. And before they were just in fellowship with him. Now they hid from them. We hide because we're afraid. We hide from truth because we are afraid. Hence, the title from last week was, "Do Not Be Afraid of Truth." But when you understand who truth is, glory to God, Jesus, our Lord and Savior, came not to condemn us, but to save us. Glory to God, you draw nigh to him. So let me go back to this verse. And so they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to them, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid. Because I was naked, because I was ashamed, I hid myself." So the lie came, and then fear entered. Lies are born out of fear. So in this climate that we're in now, you'll see more lies ever before. We've got more lies. Our politicians are lying more than ever before, and just people are just lying. I mean, they are just lying. We got shows, reality shows, where people are just lying like it's running water, like it's absolutely nothing.
I want to pause right here on the spirit of lies. It's a spirit. And we know who the father of lies is. I am going to read from John chapter 8, 42, 45, and this is Jesus speaking. Jesus is the truth. Jesus says, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a father, he is a liar and the father of lies. Because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me." And this is Jesus speaking to the Pharisees, the religious people of his time who were plotting against him. They were lying about who he was and who he represented, and they were plotting to take his life because they were threatened by the truth. This truth that makes us free. Lies imprison us, and truth makes us free. Again, I say, in today's environment, lies are running rampant. So we know that this is the plan of the enemy, to bombard us with so many lies that we are distracted by them, or we are confused by them, or we are even compromised by them. But in order for us to discern what the plan of the enemy is at any given time, we've got to be able to hear the voice of truth in the midst of all the lies. We must be so connected to the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth, that we are not distracted, we are not confused, and we are not compromised. Now let's go back to the original podcast.
And it's the spirit of fear that the enemy is releasing in the earth. Those lies create fear. Now in 2 Timothy 1:7 it says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear." So clearly, the spirit of fear is not coming from God. But it says that he's given us a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. A sound mind. And I am speaking for those who know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Before you are saved, all of us, before we were saved, those who are saved now, before you were saved, you were subject to the same thing. In Ephesians 2, I'm going to read in verse 1, it says, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins." That's the state that we were in before salvation. Dead in the trespasses and the sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world. See, following. were blind. We couldn't actually see any other course because we were blind. So we were blindly following the course of this world. There was a veil over our eyes, which it speaks in the scripture that the prince of this world veils the eyes of the people so that they will not know truth. So that they will not know Jesus. So whenever I say the word truth, I can say Jesus. You should hear Jesus. You should hear the name Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
I want to stop here again and focus on the people of the world. Their eyes are being veiled by the enemy. The scripture, I love this particular verse in Isaiah 44, verse 18. It is saying that they do not know, nor do they understand, for he has smeared over their eyes so they cannot see, and their hearts so that they cannot comprehend. So during this time, the enemy has covered over, he has smeared their eyes and smeared over their hearts with these lies that represent truth to them. So they're not able to see the truth, and the truth is Jesus. What is our responsibility in this environment? Our responsibility is to take the two-edged sword that we have that's able to divide the truth from these lies. Amen. And the power of our prayers to tear down and to build up and to break through. We are able to fight this spiritual warfare that is taking place right now. We're in the midst of that. So do not be distracted by the workings of the natural realm. They're an indication that there is a real live spiritual battle taking place right now. And we, as the people of God, we are equipped. We are equipped. We are equipped to use the word of God to call down angels into this situation. Just as Satan is using his demons in this environment. So let us be the sons and daughters of God. Let us be what all creation is groaning and travailing, waiting for the manifestation. This is who we are. We are the answer in the earth. We bring the kingdom of God into manifestation in the earth. You are not helpless. You are not hopeless, children of God. You are more than conquerors. Now let's go back to the original podcast.
So following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, sons of disobedience. We disobey God. You know, in the garden, that act of eating from that tree that we were told not to eat from, not just because God was holding something back, but he didn't want to expose us to that evil. Because only God can truly discern good and evil. How often in our lives have we thought that we made a good decision that turns out to work against us. God is omniscient, which means he's all-wise, all-knowing, all-seeing. He's omnipotent, all-powerful. All-powerful. He knows and he sees all things. He sees the beginning from the end. Only a being with that kind of authority and power and wisdom and knowledge and understanding can handle good and evil. And so we expose ourselves to this tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So now we know good and evil. At least we think we know it. We're exposed to it, but we really can't rightly discern it. And now we're acting independently of God. We think we have wisdom because we think we know good from evil. And so we feel that we can make decisions on our own. Now, this is a spirit of disobedience at work in us when we are born into this earth. You can see it at a very young age in children, that it's there, that spirit that was sown by the enemy in the garden has traveled through the generations. But God had a plan. Hallelujah. It says, before the foundations of the world, the Lamb was slain. God is all-knowing. So he foresaw Lucifer's rebellion, and a plan had been put into place that would play itself out. And what we have now through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is even greater than what Adam and Eve had when they were in the garden. Glory to God. And we are partakers of God's divine nature. We have been placed in this position, glory to God, that the enemy cannot remove us. Hallelujah. So now we are walking by faith, which is by our beliefs. Once you've been saved, and you were saved by believing that the Lord had died for you, had taken your sins, had forgiven you by believing that truth, and you received him, you received truth in your heart on that day of salvation. Glory to God. Lies are dangerous. They are designed by the enemy. This is how the how Jesus described the devil. He says in John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came, this is Jesus, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Now, you know the thief does not want you to have life abundantly. His job, what he does, because he hates us, because we are created in God's image. So when he looks at us, we're just a reminder. And so he wants to destroy us. So lies are designed to steal from us, designed to even kill us and destroy us, which is why we have to draw close to the Lord. We need to know his word. We need to fully embrace this unconditional love for us. We have to understand that it's an unconditional love for us, because if we do not, we are fearful. We are fearful that there is something that we could do that would stop God from loving us, from being pleased with us. But God so loved us that he sent his son. Glory to God. Glory to God that he sent his son. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, it's a simple truth that we can be made free, that we can be set free by truth. So it's as simple as believing the truth, believing Jesus, believing in the finished work of Christ Jesus. And Satan doesn't want you to know that it is just that simple. Because whatever we believe, what we speak and our actions will follow what we are believing in our hearts. So we have to feed on the Word of God. We have to feed, and the Word of God is Jesus. He's the living Word. So when we are reading the Scriptures, even if we don't understand everything, it is life. It is, we are eating of his body. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. And so, as we eat, you know, I was just thinking about when we go to a restaurant, because we have to eat. We go to a restaurant to eat. We don't just go sit at the table and let the waitress give us what she wants us to eat. No, we go in and we order what we want to eat. So we cannot allow this world to tell us what to eat, because they are feeding deception and lies, because they are subject to the prince of this world. And let me see, where is that verse? Jesus described him here in John 8:44. He describes him as, this is Jesus' words, he was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character. He's a liar. For he is a liar, and liars lie. For he is a liar and the father of lies. That is who is influencing those who are outside of Christ. And we have to be spiritually alert that we're not caught up in the world's philosophy, and because there's nothing new under the sun. So this whole thing, you know, where you see our culture is just embracing all these different things, and people can just, oh, be tolerant, you know, and just accept people with all of these different beliefs and what they do and da-da-da-da, you know. We're not to be tolerant of those beliefs. We are to love people, and there's a difference. But we have to reject the beliefs, these philosophies that man has come up with that comes from the father of lies, the prince, the ruler of this world, Satan. That is what we reject. That is what we will not tolerate and will not embrace. But we love, and we can love people and let them know the truth. The truth that will make them free. free. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. 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 We can't stay in a prison cell that there's no locks on this cell and the door is wide open. We need to come out. Thank God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that we've got the Spirit of truth living on the inside of us, those of us who believe. Glory to God that everything that we need, all the answers are within us. And the Holy Spirit will reveal everything that we need the moment that we need it. And the other wonderful thing is that there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. We've been called. I mean, we couldn't come to him unless we were called, because we were blind. So we couldn't even see him. Called us. He called us out of the kingdom of darkness, and he translated us into his marvelous light. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the fact that we will sin is obviously why that truth is in place, that there's no condemnation. To remind us that every sin that we would ever commit was taken to the cross, because you and I, we weren't born yet. And so he died for the sins of the world. So he died for everything. And it was a finished work. God himself clothed himself in flesh, came in the image of man, became the perfect sacrifice, without spot, without blemish, absorbed the sins of this world. Hallelujah. On that cross, he who knew no sin became sin and took the curse. All those things that were meant for us, the children of disobedience, he took this to the cross. It was condemned in his body. So it's not going to be condemned and judged again, us who believe. For us who have received this forgiveness that Jesus Christ has fully given us. And when we receive him, we receive forgiveness. And he's living on the inside of us. The guilt and the shame and the fear that came into that garden when Adam and Eve transgressed against that commandment not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil has been dealt with. It even refers to Jesus Christ being that second Adam. So if the first Adam changed everything, and so everyone was born into that, well, our Lord and Savior, how much more? How much more? How much more? Glory to God. So as believers, if there is an area, and you know, we are walking through this process of mind renewal. You know, we've come out of a world where we have been conditioned with all kinds of facts and lies and deceptions, and it all has to be purged and cleansed. Our minds have to be renewed, and it is by the truth. The Spirit of truth unveils, and as we read the scripture, he gives us the revelation that breaks us free. free of those things that are holding and binding and restricting our movement in the earth as children of the Most High God, from operating in the authority and the power that is our inheritance, but at work in us. And our eyes have to be fixed on our Lord and Savior. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. He is our faith. He is our faith. Our faith comes from Him. So if there's an area that's not working in your life, it's an evidence that truth, or you can exchange truth with the word Jesus, is not present in that area. So when the Holy Spirit shows you, hallelujah, it is for the purpose of setting you free. Setting you free, taking you to another level of liberty. Glory to God.
I want to pause and add to this truth. We never need to fear when He shows us an area in our lives. He just wants, and that's Jesus, He just wants to be the Lord of all, because He is all. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 11, He says, Christ is all and in all. Christ is all. So when Christ is in us, and consuming every part of us, He becomes everything. Everything that we are sometimes driven to go after. But there is only one thing that is necessary to have, and that is Christ. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Everything is contained in Him. He is abundant life. He is everlasting life. He is perfect love. He is power. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
So Jesus declared that we are not of the world. In John 17, He talks about they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. As you sent me into the world, so I've sent them into the world. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Believers, we have to remember that we are not of this world. We're here in it. Glory to God. And we have the opportunity of unveiling the love of God to those who do not know Him. It's His goodness that leads us to repentance. It's His goodness. It didn't say His anger. It didn't say His judgment. It says His goodness leads us to repentance. And when people able to see how great this love is, that someone would take your place and would go to the cross and receive that judgment. It's a divine judgment, because the sin cannot go unpunished. But God Himself satisfied that judgment. this wonderful, wonderful, wonderful God that we serve has satisfied that judgment. So we need to continuously hear about Jesus, for he is the truth. He's the way, he's the life. He's everything that we need. We can do nothing without him. We can't. We can do nothing without him. And it's his mercy and his grace that we have gotten as far as we have gotten with even without him. Before we received him, before we believed him, it's all of him. It's all Jesus. Glory to God. In Ephesians 4:22, it says, it talks about putting off the old self. And we do that by the renewing in the spirit of our minds. Our minds have, it says the spirit of our minds, a renewing of the spirit of our minds. And that gives us the ability to put on this new self, hallelujah, to wear it, put it on like a new wardrobe, hallelujah, a new outfit, hallelujah, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. It says God is love. So truth is love. Because God is truth. So where there's lies, God's love is not present. Because where God's love is present, it drives out fear. And fear comes from the absence of truth, which means there's a lie. And lies bring in the fear. But God's love, hallelujah. The scripture says it's a perfect love. We don't even know what perfection is experientially. You know, we never experience perfection, but we are continuously being perfected and being transformed. It says that when we keep our eyes fixed on him, that we are transformed from glory to glory. But our eyes have to be fixed on him, not on ourselves, but on him, the one who can change us. Because as we continuously look into him, look into truth, hallelujah, it is revealing to us, because it's like looking into a mirror that's telling us you are more than a conqueror. You are joint heirs with me. You are seated in heavenly places. You are the head and not the tail. You can do all things through me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You are loved with an everlasting love. I've cleansed you from all of your filthiness and from all of your idols. And I've placed my spirit on the inside of you. And I've removed that stony heart. And I've given you a heart of flesh. And my spirit will cause you to walk in my commandments. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So he's done it all. He has done it all. So it's all by faith. It's all by what we believe.
Okay, here's another pause to look a little bit more intently at this truth. So it is all about what we believe. The scripture in 1 Timothy, We're going to go to 1 Timothy chapter 6, and verse 12 says, fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. And that word fight means to enter into this contest, contend, to struggle with difficulties and danger, to endeavor with a strenuous zeal, to strive to obtain. Okay, so this is the passion of grabbing hold to this truth, that the fight that we need. Amen. And this passionate fight that we're in is to hold on to our faith, which is the conviction of truth. Conviction of the truth. We've got to know without a doubt that what the Bible is telling us is truth. That the words that we hear spoken in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, that we can rely on it confidently, to believe, to trust, and to have confidence. So we fight to hold on to this truth, to hold on to the confidence that we have, to hold on to our trust. And that is how we battle with the enemy, because he battles us with lies, with words that are untruth. He comes at us the same way he came at Adam and Eve in the garden, speaking lies. Fight the good fight of faith. Well, this concludes another hour of the Declaring the Finished Work broadcast. This is your host, Reverend Pat Randall, signing off. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
When Christians Speak Talk Radio is a nonprofit ministry. We are dedicated to spreading the gospel of Jesus through our programs and special guests. We exist through the generous support of our listeners. If you are being blessed through this ministry and would like to give a love offering, go to our website and click on our donation page. Your donation will be processed through PayPal. Our prayer is that you may prosper, be in good health, even as your soul prospers.
Unto the Lord, for he is good. Yes, he is good.
When Christians Speak Talk Radio is a 501c3 nonprofit ministry, so all of your gifts to this ministry are tax deductible. So go out to our website, www.whenchristianspeak.com, and click on our donation page. God bless you.